Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, 25th of July, 2008. We're going to have Steve Barish on here in a minute, but first I want to make a few announcements. We are going to have some interesting shows coming up. Cal Ore will be on August 1st. She's been on a lot of big shows, including George Norrie. She does everything from work with earthquake predictions to some exotic vinegar and oil formulas, which are very healthy. Which, if you see, if you look at the Paradigm website, you'll see we're taking on a lot of healthy things. This 10-year-old Modena vinegar that we're bringing on is amazing. We also have birds in the background, as usual. We're going to have on the 8th of August. We're going to have T. Galen Hieronymus. Not T. Galen, but Robert Hieronymus, a relative of T. Galen Hieronymus. He's going to be talking about a lot of the symbolism, and then that's going to lead us into what Steve and I are going to be about. Following that, we're also going to have on a friend of mine named Bambi, who is the direct descendant of Genghis Khan. His father is the king of the Pashtun tribes, and we're working with him on humanitarian projects and music. He may even actually come out here and perform to 3,000 people at the Cerritos Center. But what we're leading up to, what we're going to be covering over the next several months here with Steve Barish, is this mysterious planet X. And it's actually a brown dwarf. And there seems to be a cover-up over at by our government. And NASA had recently, on an infrared satellite a few years ago, supposedly made a discovery and then tried to push it off. And that is the fact that this planet has a 3,600-year orbit, and will cause some of these Earth changes. It was supposed to be very close in the year 2012. So we're not sure about that, but we're finding out more and more, because supposedly, as I had said before in my announcement, that the military is going underground, and the reason they're going underground is because it might be a bit hostile out here. The terrain might be a bit hostile above the surface. And the idea is that they're going to go underground for a while so that to keep humanity alive. It's a very big thing that we're looking into now. We're going to cover from a philosophical standpoint. We're going to cover it from a scientific standpoint. We're going to get some world-famous cosmologists and astronomers on here to talk about this. We're going to make a big coverage of this. And Steve's going to bring you up onto the metaphysical in a minute, but We want to cover this from all angles. We don't have time to do BS anymore, and people's emotions are fine and their intuitions are great, but that's not where we're coming from. We want hard scientific facts. If there is a cover-up, Dr. Fred can always find it. He'll reach the right people in the government at the right time, like we always do, and it's just sort of the way it goes. We just cannot fool around. There's just been too much brought to my attention. It's just amazing. Also, those of you I got some other information. If write this stuff down, go to Google and type in where it says fly to. Go Google where it says fly to. Type in 30 degrees. Or just, you won't actually have to type the degree, and just type 30 space 38.51 south. Yeah, so it's 38.51 S, and then make two spaces, and then type in 115.22.56.80 east. So it'd be 115.22.56.80 east. That will take you to Australia, and caught on a Google on the Google satellite system is a flying triangle device. From its alien, reverse engineered alien technology. It's the one that's in my book, Rays of Truth. And we will also, on the raysoftruth.tv website, be posting photographs that Mikkel from Paradigm, and Dr. Fred's Mikkel, took from the back of a Learjet last summer of the same ship. We've got some very, very detailed photographs of this craft flying at very high speed, way beyond speed of normal transportation as we know it. We got a lot of excitement coming up. There's a whole lot of stuff going on right now. Everybody should be holding their breath to see what we do next around here at Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. So anyhow, I hope that see Barish is charged up pretty good.
He should. Oh, yeah.
Are you pretty charged up, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell us what you've been up to this week.
Well, I've been studying about Planet X all week, actually, and I'm coming up with some interesting information, Fred. The modern science, recent advances in DNA are confirming that the Sumerian stories of creation, which have filtered through our modern understanding, were coming from the truth. In other words, what they're doing is that the Sumerians were the ancient people 6,000 years ago, and what they did, they had knowledge of all the planets, including Pluto, which we just found out in 1930. They knew about the planets, which are really, really incredible. I can't understand how their science, which was so ancient, was so ahead of ours. And the technology we have today is allowing us to describe the ancients in a new perspective, like Zachariah Sitchin, who was a fantastic guy. Oh, I should say hello. How are you doing?
Top, huh?
Yeah. How are you doing, by the way? I should have asked you.
Oh, I'm doing great. I've been a little short-tempered with a lot of people around here because I've been so busy because of the X1 project getting refunded now and a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
And this whole thing got dropped on me with Planet X, and I didn't realize... You know, when Sannyasi used to talk to me about the twin suns,
yes.
That's which era is in the Pleiades, where she comes from.
Right.
Their planet Era rotates around Taigata, which rotates around the Alcyon,
right.
Which we rotate around. And there's a double sun in their sky, and if this planet X, if this Nibiru, as they call it, would work to
right.
be real.
Right.
And it seems like it is.
Right.
But I'm not saying a whole lot more than that. If it's real and it lit up, then we would have a dual sun system too, a binary system also.
Right.
It's real interesting because the newest observatory has been placed, part of astronomy and cosmology is infrared.
Right, right.
And infrared photography is only working off of heat. And so if this planet has a dark surface, you know, like say it's a coal-like or carbon-like
right.
surface,
right.
then it's not going to reflect light, so it won't be observable even from a Hale telescope or any of these telescopes that we have. It would only be seen by infrared. Well, astronomy has been looking at, brown dwarfs, stars that never lit up, they just about became stars.
Right.
They weren't powerful enough for a long time. And they do have a heat inside of them, in their cores, like the Earth has a heat.
Right, right.
And so we can track them on infrared. So they put a telescope up in South Pole, and we will probably try to get an interview out of those people that work down there. Of course, the government claims it's for other things, but it would be a perfect observational point to watch for this phenomenon as it would come in on the southern horizon.
Well, I'm finding out some really interesting information thanks to you. You told me to get on this program and really study this, and I'm doing it. I guess this planet, Nibiru, which means, if I remember, planet of the crossing.
Right.
And NASA has a satellite.
Right.
With a infrared scope, and it's looking out into space as we speak now.
Right, exactly, and, I know.
Yeah. Right, so this was about, I don't know how many years ago, I think about 20 or 25 years ago. They knew about this planet for a long time. It's
exactly.
not something that's new.
Yeah.
They've known about that for a long time, as you know. And I guess it's on an elliptical path.
Right, a 3,600-year elliptical path.
Right, and what happened 3,600 years ago, from what I understand, there's so many people with so much information. Nancy Leader, there's a lot of people that have been on CNN about this, and Nancy Leader was discussing that when this planet came by, how many millions or billions of years ago, the way the mountains were created is that the technology, or not the technology, but the planet crossing the Earth caused the mountains to actually form. In other words, what happened was there was so much pressure from the planet going around the Earth that it caused the mountains to form. So there's a lot of information that I'm finding out. The other thing that I'm really finding out, which was amazing, is that every 3,600 years, this planet comes around us.
Right.
And what happened was, Fred, from what I'm reading here, is that one of the times 3,600 years ago, I don't know if it was 3,600 or 7,000 years ago, but what happened was that our North Pole was actually in Wisconsin. And the South Pole was in the Pacific Ocean. When the planet came by.
When was this supposed to be?
Pardon me?
When was this supposed to be?
I think it was either 3,600 years ago or 7,000 years ago.
Yeah, well, probably more like 7,000 years ago.
Okay.
4.5 million years ago, it was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened was, from what I understand, is that when it came by, it of course it shifted from north to south. It came to the north part of the North Pole, and it was actually almost a lot of vegetation up there. And if I remember correctly, as I'm reading here on my notes, that there was a mastodon that they found in the North Pole, actually.
Right.
And it was frozen to death instantly, and when they found this guy, he still had vegetation in his mouth and in his stomach.
Wow.
So that was frozen instantaneously. So it's really interesting that that these things are happening, and it's just, it's amazing, Fred.
Yeah, I know. Now, what did you get into the destroyer?
The thing that I really got into were the Anunnaki, who were the people living on Planet X.
Okay.
Which is also, as you say, it's Nibiru. And we were created from them.
Yeah, now, you know, the Pleiadians say that they seeded the Earth about 26,000 years ago in one of the, that had been pre-Atlantean times.
Right. And we were actually
a prison planet for a while.
Yeah, we were actually slaves.
Yeah.
Now the man who brought that up was Lloyd Pyle from he was on CNN News, and he wrote a book, Everything You Know Is Wrong. And I want to buy that book, Fred, and maybe we can get a hold of this guy and talk to him.
Yeah, let's make a list of all these people.
Yes,
we'll get him on the show.
Absolutely, I think it would be wonderful. Now we have a lot of information from the Sumerians.
Right.
We have 5,000 cylinder seals.
Right.
That we have gotten from them, and thank God we have people like Zachariah Stitchin who can really read these things.
Yeah.
And from what we understand, and modern science is concluding with it, that the DNA is confirming that Sumerian stories of creation are true.
Yeah.
So the Bible goes along with this, but the word Edom, which we go to, and Adam, where Adama, which where they were living, and Eden, which also where they were living, is called Edoma.
Right.
And so there's a lot of information that we have, and I'm really looking into it now. I'm going to order some of the books of Zechariah Sitchin, Stairway to Heaven, The Wars of God and Man, and The Lost... The Lost Realms and the Cosmic Code, which was his last book.
Right.
So he would be great to talk to. He's like the he's the finder of everything. He seems like he knows more than anybody.
Yeah. No. We'll get him on the show. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great. But I'm sorry. I'm just running on here. I got so much information, but I just wanted to tell you what I'm doing here with it.
Well,
I'm so excited
hear,
about
you know?
It.
I want everybody to know what how we're doing this and what we're planning on doing out there.
Well, when you called me and said I want you to look up and find out this information, you know me. I'm going to dig into a book and find out. But there is a program that you can get on, and it's just it's basically about the planet. Just look up Planet X.
Yeah.
And there's two programs, and just like you told me, there's a program on Zechariah Sitchin that you can listen to, and CNN, and it's just amazing to find out the information that has been talked about on CNN, whether it was broadcasted or not, there is information there that says that we were slaves at one point in our lives. But I think the thing is that I'm finding out that evolutionary-wise, we're really changing over the last, let's say, 60,000 years or however we've been on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, things are just changing rapidly, and, you know, there are people that are making such a big difference on this planet like you and I, and I know there's a lot of other people that are doing that too, so our growth has been phenomenal in the last 60,000 years or however many years. How many years has it been, Fred? I'm not 100%
sure. That's for what now?
In other words, when we were made by these by the Anunnaki, I think it was 60,000 years, 120,000 years.
Yeah, there's. I think the human race has been interbred several times.
Okay.
Sometimes in the simple form. Okay.
Yeah.
We have like the Cro-Magnon person.
Yes.
Okay. And these are basic cavemen. Now, I like cavemen because they're on Geico all the time. You know, they're hiring them, you know.
Right, insurance company.
So the cavemen are in with me.
Right.
The bottom line is the Neanderthal types are not the types that, you know, didn't go through a Darwinian evolution.
Right.
As they were teaching. But they did evolve from somewhere, a primal source, probably some other primal extraterrestrial source.
Right, right.
Whereas you have the Caucasian types, more of those probably came from extraterrestrials.
Right.
That's what I think, anyway.
Right, okay.
And what's interesting is that the take on this is that a long time ago when the Andromedans asked me to build the projectors.
Okay.
Okay, I'm beginning to understand what they mean by divine intervention now with these things.
Okay.
And sort of goes like this. Back about, I don't know how many years ago, 1,800 years ago or so, back when supposedly King Arthur's court existed, you know.
Right.
And I've been in the Glastonbury area, and I've been on where the Glastonbury Tor is, was once a hill overlooking a lake, Glastonbury Lake. And if you went on this lake, you cross this lake from the Tor side, which would be the south side, going to the north side. If you had one vibrational setting,
right,
you would be going into a witch's, like where Morgan Le Fay was, a witch's village where white witches were, and they practice, you know, their witchcraft.
The Wiccan?
Wiccan, exactly, Wiccan.
Right.
That was a Wiccan village.
Right.
All right, if you crossed the same, left from the same destination, I mean left from the same, location and went to the next same destination, in another vibration, you would be in, you would now be in a Benedictine monk setting.
You'd
end up with where the monks were. Depending on the vibration. I talked to Semyazi about that many times, and she says that's called splitting the ethers. Okay,
right.
You're splitting the ethers. And when you start looking at the physical plane, we have a solid, liquid, gas, ionic stage, and three etheric stages.
Right.
We have a chemical ether, a reflective ether, and a light ether. Well, in the reflective ether, we can raise our body frequencies up into the etheric state. We still have a physical body, but we can also raise our bodies into etheric state. So, now how do we do that? Well, the only way you can go into an etheric state in this gross, dense frequency that we're living in now, which didn't exist back 1,800 years ago, 1,700 years ago, didn't exist. It's back out of King Constantine's time we're talking here. That didn't exist. There was no resistance to going into the etheric changes, but you had to have somebody would have needed to guide you there. You follow what I'm saying?
And right.
Guidance would be required. Because, to do this guiding that was required, okay, in those days they had masters, you know, they had different, you know, white brotherhood masters.
right.
Sages, magicians, like Merlin,
yes.
That could guide you there or take you there. And remember, in those days, people reported seeing fairies, that, you know, like at Hyde Park and you know, the Serpentine at Hyde Park, and all kinds of things, you know, little astral or etheric beings were quite visible, which are very hard to see now, the smog and the oxygen and the horrible psychic pollution of this planet. You follow
right,
me?
Right.
So, that would be one half an orbit. Okay, we're looking back 1,800 years. That's a half an orbit
right.
of this thing. So it was obviously it had been here and was on its way out. But you know, like you don't want to, if you're in a small airplane, you don't want to land a hypercub behind a jet as it comes down because of the turbulence, wake
right.
turbulence they call it.
Right.
Follow me?
Right.
Put the plane right over. Well, I think that the wake turbulence of this planet X, if it exists, created this opening of the etheric plane and made it quite possible for all this to happen. Now, if you fast forward back a little bit further and go back, let's say, 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, you start looking at Moses. We start yes. looking at the Exodus from Egypt to Israel, and we see some miracles being performed.
Yes.
Okay? Now, we don't see miracles really being performed 1,800 years ago, but we see etheric wonders being done by a lot of people, whereas we go back to double that distance in time, we see miracles being performed.
Yes.
So we could say, let's say just for hypothesis, that planet X was here during that 3,600 period of time when Moses was doing his thing.
Yes.
And therefore, the second ether was quite available, and he was able to open up the heavens in the second ether and part the Red Sea because he had a, you know, normally with the sea, you have the gravity of the moon. But if you've got a planet coming in here 10 times the density of the Earth, you've got another gravity. You follow
right.
me?
Right.
Higher than the moon. So what happens if you take an ocean and you have the moon on one side and you have, you know, at a greater distance, of course, another moon that's 10 times bigger than the moon we have. What you've done is you've created a field of energy across water, which has a surface tension like our bodies.
Right.
That could easily be disturbed to make a wake and part, and, you know, part and make a dry spot in the middle. It could be easily manipulated by someone that has just a slight bit of training, you know, with their kundalini forces and their etheric energies and the, you know, their chi force, like a martial artist. You follow me?
Right, right.
It'd be a lot easier to pull something like that off then than it would be. And if something like that was being pulled off occasionally, the average neophyte would consider that to be a miracle. And as that double-sized or quadruple-sized moon left the area where this of the Earth and moved back out into space, there would be a residual of energy with it, which would explain, you know, the miracles of Christ and all the things that occurred in the thousands of years to follow that period. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm looking at it strictly from a scientific, logical standpoint now, assuming that there is a large a brown dwarf that did exist, and that would explain some of the phenomenon, because the explanations that I've heard so far on TV and by people to me have been, they don't have a scientific background. Everything is, the miracles and everything in space has a theory to it.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything that even came close to what the real explanation would be, because stuff just doesn't jump out, rabbits just don't jump out of hat. Otherwise, man wouldn't be able to become God, and man wouldn't have God-like creation powers.
Right.
And the fact that he does have them, and he has these observational powers, this would explain in totality what the ancients have been telling us all along,
yes.
that the future is in your hands.
Well, I think what's beautiful is that we've been given the option, and it's all optional, to be able to close one door, and God will open up another door for us.
Exactly.
So I think that growth, which, you know, you and I have been going through, that we've talked about so many times, that things happen. I know that I was reading a book a couple of weeks ago called Living Among the Himalayan Masters by Swami Rama, who just passed away a couple of years ago. He had a place in Pennsylvania. And one of the things...
Now, hold on one second, Steve. Sure. I got a roofer here, and I've got to stop the pounding.
Sure.
Hey, Danny, I'm doing a radio show. Can't hear you.
Yeah.
Everybody knows I'm getting my roof fixed now. So anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so anyhow, in the book, it's called Living Among the Himalayan Masters by Swami Rama.
Right.
It mentions a mosque that was built 2,000 years ago for Christ, so he was there. So it's amazing the information that's found out when you really take a look around and see that these mosques and different things of this nature are hidden so well, and it's starting to come out, and everything is starting to come out now.
Right, I guess in 2 weeks, Dr. Robert Hieronymus is going to cover the symbolism of what we're talking about now. That's what his specialty is.
Oh, is it? Great.
Yeah, it's all about symbolism. If you go into Dr. Fred Bell's, click on my show on the front page, it'll take you into the inner pages of my work, and you'll see his resume, and you can go check out where who he is and what he is. He's world famous.
Yeah, the great.
Yeah, he's coming on. See, so you're right on key. You're bringing up stuff, and I'm saying, well, we got this expert already booked on the show to verify and really take us in depth into what you're talking about right now. That's my point.
I think the beautiful part about this is that miracles are happening all over the planet now.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing what we can do when we open up our energies to be able to bring this into volition.
Yeah, now going another step further now.
Yes.
When the Andromedans told me that the projectors, you know, that we make,
right,
have to do with divine intervention.
Yes.
And we know for a fact that when you're in a projector system, it projects your energy of your body into the second ether anyway, where the Pleiadians actually live, where the Greys actually go through. They live in there too. I mean,
right,
it's another set of parameters. So I believe that the projectors and you bring us into this higher vibratory space over a period of time and get us comfortable for it. Because when the planet Nibiru comes around, those people that are using this type of technology, and we're not saying we're the only ones with it, but it is a form of quantum entanglement. You'll see more and more and more of it coming up on the news, in writings and books. And I think those people are going to be able to adjust to the vibration that'll change when this thing comes through.
Yes.
And the ones that don't do that are going to have a problem with it, and we're already seeing a huge influence of it coming now because people are dying right and left. And just about anybody I know that ate a lot of meat between the, you know, and didn't stop eating meat, a lot of it, in age, say, 48, 47, on up to 60 or so, start making vast changes in their diet and their lifestyles, pretty much in their mid to late 60s are dying of heart attacks. They're going out like by the dozens now.
Right.
And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing people that, of course, there's a whole other topic about, you know, the drug company financing these government operations to cause people to become incredibly frustrated, and in their frustration have to turn to all these effects or all these different drugs that are out there by prescription.
Right.
And I know that when you use the higher frequency equipment that we've been developing from the Pleiadians and Andromedans, these vibrations from these different killer satellites and different programs that are launched out there, like the NASA program that I'll be talking about in a few weeks.
Right.
In my book, those people don't seem to need these drugs and these medications.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing anyway.
Well, I know that the projector that I wear has got the four diamonds in it.
Yeah.
And the growth is absolutely phenomenal that I've been going through for the past 2 years. You've been using me for a guinea pig anyhow. So.
Yeah, you are a guinea pig. You are.
I just, anytime something new comes out, Fred calls me and says, you got to get this because I need you to find out what it does.
Yeah.
So we're having a lot of fun with these things, but these projectors are really, really unbelievable. I got four in my room, and I've actually had my room disappear. Fred and I have talked about it 1,000 times. So,
yeah, now the other thing that happens to you is since you've been using them is you're able to see a lot of beings, etheric beings in that normal people don't see. Now, were you? I don't think you were seeing a lot of Andromedans back when you were racing cars. At least I wasn't, anyway.
No.
I didn't even know what they were. I didn't even know what Andromeda was when I was a driver.
Right.
I could tell you what a 409 was.
Yep, I could tell you that too.
Or a Hemi, but I didn't know what an Andromedan was.
Well, the I just got the what do we call that? The ethers, the bells. You know, the things that where I'm stroking back and forth. I have more people showing up in my room, just from the vibratory quality of the hydrogen that really is happening in that room.
Yeah.
I mean, the cells, everything in my room changed as soon as I play that fret. The room becomes crowded with people.
Yeah, the hydrogen generator.
Yes, and it's unbelievable. It's just the sound that comes out. I've had people actually asleep.
Yeah.
And I play that, and they've never heard a sound like that before in their lives, and they just wake up, not because of the freighting of, you know, the sound. They said, that's the most beautiful sound they've ever heard in their lives.
Yeah.
And it actually raises the vibratory quality of their body. I can actually see the light change from their body. So it's unbelievable. I'm so glad I got that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I got that. It's just unbelievable. And I sleep underneath my pyramid every night, and that's just raising the vibration. It keeps away the negative energy. And so that's making a big difference in my life. Thanks so much. It's just making such a big difference.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to be making a recording of it in holographic sound with my new studio equipment that we just got.
That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and that's going to be available to the people that have the system. So anybody that has one of our systems will get that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
They'll be able to purchase it if they want.
Motu,
which is a company back east that, to me, makes some of the best recording A to D converters in the industry, has an interesting policy. You can buy certain things, certain of expansion cards and things from them, only if you have their equipment.
Right.
And that's what we've decided to do, because it takes a lot of time to put these things together, these recordings together, and make sure they work. And we really don't want these things out to people that don't know what they are. I think it would not be good for them. They need to have the proper environment set up to listen to this energy, because if they don't and we just let them go anywhere, I think they would open people up. But then if they don't have protection, like, say, with the star orb,
yes.
What's going to happen is they're going to let negative entities get in them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it would cause some damage, because these are very powerful sounds that we're going to be creating, as you know, because you've got the hydrogen generator right there.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. And people are really changing in my room, Fred. They're changing more instantaneously. In other words, before I started wearing my nuclear receptor and the projector, and even having the projectors in my room, my energy was pretty advanced, but, you know, it took a few years to get these people to move on. And with the projectors, the nuclear receptor, and the projector I wear around my neck, people are changing so fast, Fred.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. And I remember when I called you, and I told you I had a client in the room, and my room absolutely just disappeared. There was nothing in there. But light, tremendous light coming from the two stones in the projector.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely beautiful in there. I know your daughter is going through that.
Oh, yeah. I got pictures of her on our website dematerializing.
I wish I had that kind of equipment here. You know, Fred, I could really probably give you a lot of stuff if I could, you know, if I had this kind of equipment here, I could really go nuts with everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's coming. Now, looking at what you're saying now, what you're describing to me now is exactly how it happened. Let's say Nubaru came through 3,600 years ago.
Right.
That would be its anniversary. 2012 would be its anniversary,
yes.
Let's say, you know,
yes.
Which is the way it seems to be. Okay, so now the kind of stuff you're telling me about happened back around King Constantine's time, a little time after Christ, probably. King Arthur's time, which was a little bit later,
right?
Not much in England. So you're describing something that happened on the descent of the rotational period, the apogee period of it going around as it was leaving. So now let's flip that over and say this thing is coming at us again. It would make sense that same phenomenon would start to happen again about now, because it's not that far before it gets here again.
That's right. That's
I don't think it'll actually be here in 2012. I don't think so. I think it'll be getting approaching, maybe. But I think its energies are already being...
Oh, yeah, there's no question. They're being felt all over the world, Fred.
Yeah.
So no question about it.
You can have one expression of that is you can be the government and be a mole and then use these big 1 mile a day digging machines down under the ground, building yourself a grave or a coffin underground.
That's right.
Or you can be like us up on the surface of the planet, basking in the warmth of these extrastellar frequencies that we have. And so as they get stronger, we get stronger, and we become more ethereal, while these guys go down in the ground and turn into bugs.
Well, what's interesting... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Well, I think the most interesting part that you had mentioned Moses, and Moses was 3,600 years ago.
Yeah.
And these miracles were happening then with the Ark of the Covenant and... the parting of the Red Sea, and it's just absolutely, I think it's incredible that this happened 3,600 years ago, because we're starting to have that happen again.
Right.
And it's so powerful. Your equipment, people don't know, Fred, unless they have your equipment, they really don't know.
I know.
It's unbelievable the amount of power. Now, I have a client of mine who just shifted to a diamond in her receptor. She absolutely flipped over it. Her name is Debbie. She's one of my best friends. And we put a diamond in that thing, and let me tell you, she is, like, incredible. Her DNA is changing. I mean, she's happy. She's, things are happening so fast for her.
Was she depressed before, or what?
Pardon?
Was she depressed before?
No. She's a very happy person, but she's almost elated. I mean, just, she can wear it up to 5 hours now a day.
Wow.
And so that was really incredible. And we only changed that about 2.5 weeks ago.
Right.
And she's noticing a big change. And I said, as soon as she put that on, Fred, her whole back opened up. Her heart increased. It was like I was watching a different universe in her body. It was just a completely different dimension.
Wow.
So I'm being in tune with this. And people, I've got people that are buying these receptors, and they're putting them on, and they're just incredible. Do you remember the woman that bought the gold receptor when we had the show in Laguna Beach? You know, the one that invited me over for dinner?
Her name. Jill.
Yeah, Jill. When she put on the receptor, she asked me, she said to me, would this be better with a canary diamond? I said, well, let's change the energy from a white diamond to a canary diamond. And as soon as I did that, Fred, the energy went down.
Wow.
So I said, we're going to change the energy back to a white diamond. The energy came right back in her body, and she says, I'm buying this.
Yeah.
And, she just had to be shown that these things are really real. So the things that we can do now, I would never have thought about doing this back when we were racing cars, you and I.
Oh, I wouldn't either. I would have laughed at this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody would, you know, it's impossible to say, well, you know, you could change the energy. You could make this thing, you know, a canary diamond or a white diamond. We can do anything we want with our minds. And I believe very strongly, you're one of the best friends I have on the planet, but it's
That's
not
that. Saying much.
Huh?
That's not saying much. You might see the Inquisition coming around. Maybe that came around about...
That's all right. That'd probably be the first to go. But what I'm trying to say is that this equipment that you have is so real. I mean, people don't realize, unless they actually have the receptor, of how clean you can be and how sharp your mind becomes. Or the pyramid. I'm ordering a big device from you, and I'm ready to send you a deposit for it, but...
Oh yeah, flamethrower.
Yeah, it's going to be a black one. It'll draw negative energy from people.
When you go on the show, you've never had a flamethrower before, have
you?
No.
I've never had one. So we'll be talking about this for months.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, Fred, is that people that are starting to buy. I know in New York City, when we were trying these nuclear receptors on people, they went crazy.
Oh, they did, yeah.
They loved it. They absolutely, I can't tell you how much joy I had watching people change right in front of me. I could see their auras open up. Their auras went from a little dark to bright white light in a matter of a second. You know, we were picking out the stones with the necklaces and putting them on them. They couldn't buy them fast enough.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree with you.
You know, so it's just, wow, you know, things are happening, and we need to move on. We need to find out, you know, what we're really made of. And your equipment is showing people the way.
Yeah.
It's certainly showing me, and I, you know, I'm your
biggest... But, you know, it's not, you know, let's look back into the past again, in King Arthur's time and before that. In those days, you know, the magicians, you know, every king had a priest or a magician around him. They all did.
Right.
Merlin was, consul for King Arthur. King Constantine had his own consul. I forget his name. They all had them, you know.
Right, right.
We're back to the pharaohs.
Yes.
And rather than have a nuclear receptor, which we didn't, I don't think they had those, but they had amulets.
Yes.
And they wore these things like we do our receptors.
Yes.
And I think they were probably a little more crude, but they worked for that time. They were apropos for the era.
Yes.
And, you know, one day I was down in, I was over in the Tower Castle in London, you know,
yes.
And the Tower Castle is where they keep the crown jewels.
Yes.
And I was down there, and there's probably a couple of $1 billion worth of jewels, and the case is probably, I'd say, a moderate 4 inches thick as glass.
Yes.
And so we're underground, because this thing is underground, it's locked up, it's the tower, it's the famous Tower Castle over there where they used to make, it was a prison, it's a big old place right next to the Thames River.
Was that the Tower of London?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we're, you know, and it's not far from the Tower Bridge, which is just down the road from it. So anyway, I get down there and I'm wearing a receptor, and it's about, I think the place closed around 5 or 6, probably around 6, and I'm probably in there about 5:30. And so I'm looking at the scepters, you know, not in, you know, the SEP, you know, TOR, the things with the cane with the stuff on the top.
Right.
Looking at the amulets that they wore. I'm really checking this out. And we're in a line. You know, you're a tourist and there's guards there, armed guards. And,
right.
And the case is there and it's round. And you kind of go 180 degrees around it. That's the way the path is. And then on the other side of the path in the case are the guards.
Right.
You know, sitting in chairs and stuff up on a little perch there, like a little ledge.
Yes.
So I'm about halfway around the display, and the guard reaches over and grabs my arm.
Right.
And he says, sir, would you step back here, please? I says, oh, shit, now what did I do, you know? And he pulled me back in there where he was, and he says, I would like you to stay here till we close.
Wow.
Because I would like to explain this stuff, because I sense you really understand what this really is. This is not a jewelry expose, he said.
Okay.
So when everybody was gone, he spent about 20 minutes with me.
Right.
We can only spend a little time. They're going to lock this thing up, you know, like a vault, and I'll be locked in here if I don't get out. But we're spending 20, and he explained to me this beautiful emerald and the energy it had, the Hope Diamond, scepters, and he said these scepters supposedly had a magic power, and the queen or the king, whoever had them, would only bring them out for certain kinds of ceremonies, because their power was so great that they would influence the ceremony, and their power was also so great, if there wasn't a reason to use them, they would cause more harm to the user than good, because
right.
they needed to be put away and stored, you know, like
right,
recharging
right.
or something.
Sure.
And he went through and explained all this stuff to me. I'm like blown away, because he says this display has stuff in it going back 5,000 years.
Okay.
Clear back to Egypt. You know, there was stuff in there.
Right.
5,000 years of stuff I'm looking at, and there's a lot in there. And he explained to me a lot of the amulets. And then I said, well, why are you picking me out here? I mean, I'm just a lot of us here. And he says, sir, and he points to this thing the receptor that I'm wearing. He says, sir, this has a meaning to me, personally.
Right.
He says, I understand somewhat of what it is. He says, I know that's not a normal piece of decorative jewelry, he tells me. He says, I know this is something special, and I know you're something to do with it.
Right.
And I says, yes, sir, I'm Dr. Fred Bell, and this is called a nuclear receptor, and blah, 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 and this is our website, and we made friends. You know, I never saw him after that, but I guarantee you, he went to our website, he's probably got one right now.
Yep.
And so this was acknowledgement. And by the way, these guards are part of the Queen's special guard. They're not just some whack and hut security company in there. These guys are part of the Royal Guards of the Queen.
Well, they've probably been in the family for generations.
On and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They march in, they march out, they got smart hats, swords.
Right.
These guys are dressed in the nines. They aren't just a bunch of guys sitting around in a... The local whack and hut uniform, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that's why when he grabbed my arm, it scared me. Just, my God, was this? Am I done something wrong? You know, because everybody was passing me up.
Yep.
You know, I was standing there, I was moving really slow, and five or six people would go by me, and I'm, you know, like maybe he thought I was casing the joint or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, I was just studying this shit. You know, I was feeling it. You could feel it through that case.
Oh, yeah. You know, what was interesting? Before I bought my first product from you, which was a nuclear receptor, you were putting on a show in Toronto.
A long time ago.
And there was about 500 people in the audience, and you were doing the glue thing, you know, and putting down the arm. After the show, you had walked up the aisle where I was sitting, and you looked right into my eye.
Yeah.
And you said, this necklace would be great for you.
Wow.
Walked right up to me out of 500 people.
Yeah.
And just looked at me. And, you know, that was quite interesting.
I'll have to go back and do that show again.
Oh, that's fabulous up there. That's fabulous.
Those people are really great. It's so darn cold up there in Jen.
It is. It's very cold when that show happens. But it'd be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, I'd like to do that one next.
Yeah.
I'll look into that. I mean, I know those people. I've talked to them.
Yeah.
What was that lady's name? That's her and her husband that do it.
Yeah, I forget their name. But I'll find out for you.
I'll find out, see how big that show is.
It's. I think there's about 600. There were about 600 booths.
Yeah, that's a big show. What
gigantic show!
That big,
gigantic show.
Yeah, we should go back and do that.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah,
that would really be a lot of fun to do. But getting back to Nibiru, it's five times the size of the Earth.
Okay. Yeah, five's the number I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Five times.
It's about the size of Jupiter.
Yes. Gigantic. Very big. So I think we're being influenced by that planet now as we speak.
Yeah, I think we're opening up the zone, and I think that what we're doing is starting to make sense now.
Yes.
And I've got the attention of some world leaders now on what we're doing, shakers and movers, a very serious attention now that I didn't have a year ago.
Right.
And so we'll see how this goes. I mean, you know, people, our client list is starting to grow, you know, everybody from, you know, somebody that's sweeping the floors at night to royal families are using this stuff again, and I don't discriminate between your occupation of a royal family to a janitor. Everybody's people, and at the end of the day, when we leave these bodies, we're all going to be in the same boat.
Yep.
But it's just it is a spectrum of thinking and a life spectrum of lifestyles, and it seems to be touching everyone now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's just, it's so interesting.
And you know what else? It transforms people. I see people.
Absolutely.
I've seen as of recently some major transformations in some very powerful people.
Well, I'll tell you, the necklaces are absolutely transforming people. And I think the closer this thing comes to the planet, the safer we're going to be wearing these necklaces.
Yeah.
There's no question about it to me.
Yeah, I think, though, that when you're really serious, you really need to get into the system side of it. And have a Stargate-like energy present in your environment.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's basically what it is. It's a DNA conditioning device at this point. I'm covering, you know, my book is, my research for my book, I haven't written, I got to get down and write, but I got a hell of a lot of research done for the new book.
Right.
That's really opening up. And I think that hopefully this Planet X will be the last chapter in the book.
Okay.
You know, because this is about the time I think I've got it all covered. Then I turn around, something else comes up, and I says, yep, we got to put that in. Instead of running a comic book, it's going to turn into another, you know, telephone book like the last one that I wrote.
Right.
What I was trying to avoid. My books end up pretty damn big, you know.
Yep,
they do. Huge, as a matter of fact.
I've got your first book here, and it's quite interesting. It's very, very interesting. The Secret Promise?
Yeah.
That's a fabulous book.
Yeah.
Fabulous book. But I want to get back.
That became the promise, I think, didn't it? Or not? I'm not sure.
That's
the one that Brad Steiger and I wrote, right?
Oh, yes. That was a great book. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was the story of Semyasi.
Yes. Yeah, that was a lot of that. That was a fun book.
Another book, which is a story of my life, and okay. I got the influence, I got the urge to do that because Richard Feynman, who is one of my, he was one of the most famous. He got a Nobel Peace Prize. One of the most famous cool physicists of the world. He worked on the Manhattan Project. He used to hang out in strip bars, and he was one of the most beautiful. He worked at Caltech up until the point he died in 88. And
right.
You know, he wrote this book. I forget the name of it. Oh, Mr. Feynman or something. And he wrote this thing. It's a really light autobiography of his life. He had a ghostwriter to put it down. And
right.
He inspired me to write sort of an autobiography, which will kind of work tongue-in-cheek with this new book.
Uh-huh.
It'll explain how my conditions of insanity happened stage by stage, starting before I was born. I had
right.
thoughts before I was born. And that's
right, right, right.
Isn't that weird?
That's wild.
Yeah, I guess you need to write a book about yourself too, you know.
I'm trying to get the book written, Messages from the Most High. It, you know, when
you get it done, I'll publish it for you.
Oh yeah, I know that.
I'll pay for printing and everything, you know.
You know, it's the messages that I receive from heaven, so I'll get that done as soon as I can. But I'm doing so much other things right now. I can't focus on that at all.
Yeah,
but I'd like to get that done. I have to sit down and really get that done so you can publish it.
Yeah, we'll get it out there.
But
we'll be able to sell a lot of them for you through our group, you know.
Thank you, thank you.
So what do you got going on your show tomorrow?
I'm going to do the same thing here, and I'm going to discuss the projectors and the nuclear receptor and how well they work. I'm going to be talking about the projector. I also have a projector on my desk, and I've been asking it a lot of good things, and I'm trying to make it good for a lot of people. And actually, I've had people sit behind my desk and ask questions or ask for things through the projector, and they're receiving them very quickly.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know, so they're having a lot of fun with that. And the clients that I'm working on, their DNA is changing, different things of that nature. So I'm trying to make I've got about four or five students that I'm working with now and training them on what I know.
Cool.
So if, God forbid, something should happen to me, at least the information will go along with them.
Yeah. Did you ever think about relocating?
I'd love to live near you, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but we're going to be over in Temecula. We're going to these ranches over there to get the X1 project going. It's about 45 minutes inland, south of here.
That'll be incredible. If you need some help, you know, I'm more than happy to move out there.
Yeah, well, the rent's cheap over there, if you want to get a place. It's a good environment. I think you'd have a hell of a business. It's a fairly wealthy community over there. You know, we're looking at some places in the wine country, actually one place in particular.
Right, right, right.
And it's got a laboratory on it. We need to start assembling this X1 machine.
I think I'm coming out in September to you anyhow. I'm going to be doing a lot of healing again.
Yeah, Jill's looking forward to seeing you.
Right,
that.
I know she is, and also another friend of yours who needed my help, you know, an attorney gentleman.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to getting in touch with everybody again. And I can massage you and Mikkel, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay, let's reiterate. We've got a lot of new listeners I see coming
sure.
on here. Steve Barish and I have been talking about Planet Nibiru, which is also Planet X. It's a brown dwarf. We're going to be bringing a lot of experts on this show. People even go on Larry King and George Norrie's show. They're going to be coming on over here. We're not just talking about philosophers and people that stargazers. We're talking about cosmologists, government people that work in the astronomy department. And Steve and I are both working on bringing this myth to a reality and explaining what it is, how long it's going to be here, if it exists, and all that sort of thing. And our next guest will be on August 8th. It's going to do symbolism for us. It's going to be Robert Hieronymus. He has a relationship to T. Galen Hieronymus, who made the black box that's patterned after our radiators and ion shower devices. So we got a lot of, and I got a lot of guests after that that'll be coming on. We've talked to a couple of theoretical physicists here that are out here in California that are world famous to come on the show. And we're going to be talking to a lot of different people in the scientific community and the philosophical community to see where the truth lies, including hopefully maybe a few people that are working on the infrared telescopes at NASA and different places that are actually plotting these different brown dwarfs. And what a brown dwarf is, if you don't know what that is, it's a it's basically a hot planet that could have become a star but never had enough energy to actually start into the fusion process of where a hydrogen breaks down into helium, and so producing heat and energy, which is what stars do. So anyhow, that's what we're all about. And I guess, Steve, we're kind of running out of time here, you know?
Yeah.
Anything else? You want to put your phone number out there for my listeners?
Yeah. It's area code 585-746-8321. And anybody that needs any kind of answers on the nuclear receptor, I tell people what stones to buy for Fred. So if you want to give me a call, I'm more than happy to do that for you.
Yeah, and those of you that are new, we get a lot of new people each week. Go into the archives at BBS Radio, and you'll see a lot of information there about the shows that we've done. Sometimes I have the camera, I'll hold up something where my hand is now, and I'll show, I had a Stanton Friedman on a few weeks ago. He was on Larry King on the 18th of July. I had him on the week before. And when Stanton Friedman was talking about it, the cover-up, and very good work, I might say. Stanton Friedman is also... Oh, by the way, Stanton is working with us on this project. I sent him some emails today. Yeah, he's very into this. He's going to be coming on. He's going to put some of his energy into this because he's very much into the phenomenon itself, too. And he's a very good... He's a physicist.
Right.
He worked for the government for 15 years. He's well-credentialed. And so he's going to be helping us out. He's been on the show a couple times already. You can go into our archives and tell your friends to go into our archives. Or you can go to our other website, which is a subscription site, but it's got a lot of hot stuff, a lot of videos, tons of videos, some that we shoot ourselves. And that is raysoftruth.tv, www.raysoftruth.tv. Another thing about the Rays of Truth is that my new book, Inside Track, will have a lot of pictures and a lot of videos that go with the chapters, but they won't be in the book. They'll be on the Rays of Truth. So you go on there, you click on Rays of Inside Track section, and you'll find chapter 6 videos, blah, blah, blah. It's the first time anybody's ever wrote a book and done all the video, done a video backup on a website, but that's what we are. We're very innovative. We're out of time. You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Our guest this week was my sidekick, Steve Barish. And until next week, when we have Cal Ray on, have a great week.